Time for us to read together from God's Word. Our reading is from the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 4. It's on page 148 of the Pew Bibles. Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we're going to read through the first 8 verses. This is God's Word for us. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did at Baal Peor, for the Lord your God destroyed from among you all the men who followed the Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive today. See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Amen.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. How do you describe someone? What would you mention if someone asked you, do you know so-and-so? What are they like? You might say that they are tall or they're athletic, or you might describe their hair color or the quantity of hair. You might describe their fashion sense and the colors in which they dress, the music they like, the hobbies they have. There are lots of different things that we might mention if we were to describe one another. How then would you describe God? Which characteristics of God would you think it important to mention if someone were to ask you, describe me your God, tell me what is the God you worship like? We might say he is powerful, he is creator, he is wise, he is immortal. Since we're in a series on the mission of God, you might say he is a missionary God. At the very least, you should include speaking. Our God is a speaking God. God creates everything by speaking. He gathers Israel to Mount Sinai, rescuing them from slavery in Egypt, and almost the first thing he does is he speaks to them. Jesus comes, God with us, as the Word of God. When the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the disciples at Pentecost, what do they see? Tongues of fire. What do they hear? Words praising God. How do we know that Peter, the apostle, has been filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he preaches a sermon. Our God speaks. He makes himself known by words. It's not the only way he makes himself known, but it is one of the most common, one of the most often used. God often speaks and makes himself known in words. He uses words in achieving his mission for us, among us, and through us to the ends of the earth. Why should we listen to God's words? There are lots of words in the world today. Why should we obey God's words? If we are to share in the mission of God, these are good questions that we should ask ourselves. What is the significance for the mission of God, of God's word? Why should we obey God's word? The book of Deuteronomy, the whole book, is preaching the word of God. The book presents Moses preaching, speaking to the people in four great sermons all the way through all the chapters of the book, except the last one, which records Moses' death. But the other chapters are all sermons which Moses spoke, which he preached, claiming to be, this is the word that God has said to me, and I'm going to say it to you. In verse 1 of our reading, listen. In verse 6, keep and do. Moses is speaking the word of God to the people of God. They are to listen to this word, they are to keep this word, and they are to do this word. Are we the people of God? Is that not why we're here together? We want to be God's people. We want to be known and recognized as the people of God. Do we not desire to be disciples of the Lord Jesus? Should we not then listen to God's word? Should we not then be people today in 2018 who keep God's word, who do God's word? We are to obey God's word, because this is how we share in the mission of God. We can divide the passage we read into two halves. Verses 1 to 4, we obey the word of God for our own lives. Verses 5 to 8, we obey the word of God as a blessing to others. In verse 4, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are all alive today. The life of the people of God is holding fast to God's word, clinging on to it. In this passage, we are told that we live. Our life is sustained by our holding on to the word of God. Our life depends upon the word of God. We are the children of God as we obey his word, as we depend upon the word which Jesus is. This is our life, our salvation, and our hope. There is no life for us apart from the life-giving and life-sustaining word of God. This then describes the mission of God for us. God speaks, God declares good news, that he loves us, that he will be gracious towards us in Jesus, that in the cross of Jesus there is forgiveness of sins, new life in his resurrection. God speaks these words to us and says, hold on to them, and you will live. Maybe you've heard many times this kind of message preached. God speaks, you need to obey God's word. That's how you'll be saved. It's a good message. It's a biblical message. But it's not our focus this morning. This morning we're going to focus more closely on verses 5 to 8. We're going to see that our obedience to the word of God has a benefit not only for us. Our obedience to the word of God is not only, I will obey so that I will be saved. Our obedience to the Word of God is how the mission of God is achieved for others. How God's blessing comes through those who obey His Word to others. The mission of God is served by our obedience to the Word of God. Look again at verse 6. Keep and do them, the statutes and rules, in the sight of the people. Keep them and do them in the sight of the people. Moses was speaking to a people, the nation of Israel gathered around him, a people who desired to be God's people, who wanted to obey God's word. He's saying, you do this in the sight of them, in the sight of all the other nations. Entering the land of Canaan, if you can picture it on a map, the western borders, the Mediterranean Sea. All around the north and the east and the south, the nation was surrounded by other nations, by other peoples. Moabites, Ammonites, Syrians, all sorts of other people, Egyptians even to the south. Moses is saying to the people of God, when you enter your nation, when you start to live as the people of God, you are to obey God's word, and everyone else is going to be watching. Everyone else is going to be carefully and closely watching you. How do these people of God live? What do they do? How do they order their family life, their community life, their national life? We are watching you. In Scotland in 2018, something like only 2-3% of the nation have Christian faith. Our non-Christian neighbors and friends do not ignore us. They watch us carefully and closely. How do these Christians live? What do they do? How do they order their family life? How do they order their communities when they gather together? How do they engage in the life of the neighborhood, the city, the nation? How do they do at their work, at their entertainment? We're watching you. We might not belong with you, but we're watching you. The people of God from the time of Moses and still today are on display, on public display, as the people of God. Do people see Christians living different lives? Do they see us obeying the word of God and living in wisdom and understanding? As we obey the word of God, so the presence of God is known and is visible among us. For what great nation is there has a God so near? It is made known that God is near to us in our obedience to His word. Only the people who obey the word of God have God near to them and visible among them. As we obey the word of God, so His way of life is visible among us. What great nation has rules and statutes so righteous? Only the people who obey the word of God visibly have a way of life that is better than all other ways. As we obey the word of God, we live in God's presence. As we obey the word of God, we live in God's righteous way. Our lives are to be recognizably different from everyone else's life. Verses 7 and 8 begin with a question. What great nation? A question which invites a comparison. The nations around Israel were to see and to observe their way of life. And they were to ask, who's like them? What other nation is like this nation? Our lives as disciples of Jesus are intended to invite the same comparison. Who's like them? Obedience to the word of God shapes our lives in line with the mission of God. We care for God's creation. We love our enemies. We forgive as we have been forgiven. We give generously to those in need. We feed the hungry. We clothe the naked. We visit the prisoners. We care for the bereaved. What way of life is better than this? Our lives, lived in obedience to the word of God, leads us to care for others, leads us to share the blessings we have with others. We care and we share with others. We share the blessings of the gospel with others because of our obedience to the word of God. This will be noticed. This makes Christian people different. Look again at verse 6. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. The ungodly neighbors of Israel are saying this because the people of God are obeying the word of God. No human, not on their own, and not in community at any time, has ever been able to work out for themselves how to live in a wise and understanding way. It's just never been done. Only in submission to the word of God, only as we obey God's word, can our lives be described as wise and understanding. This, it turns out, is attractive. When we invite people to come and see, yes, we're inviting them to come and see the services that we have together, all the activities that are part of the life of our congregation. That's what we're doing in our open day at the end of the month. But more importantly, when we say come and see, we're saying to them, come and see how we live. Come and see our lives. Because our lives lived in obedience to the word of God are attractive. It's the kind of life you really want to live. But apart from God's word, you can't. Come and see our kindness, our gentleness, our self-control. These things we have learned through obedience to God's word. Whether we like it or not, we live our Christian lives in public. We are always on display. Our non-Christian neighbors are supposed to be able to see the life of God in us, to compare our life with theirs and be attracted to the life of God's people. Our non-Christian friends are meant to be attracted to know God by the quality of our living. How can we do this? If this is what it means to share in the mission of God, who can ever hope to share in that mission? We can. You and I, every Christian person. The world is waiting for us to live as Christians. The world is longing to see God displayed in our faithful discipleship. We need to obey the word of God. That means we need to know God's word. We need to read it, think about it, talk about it. This is why we've got small groups in the church, so that we can meet together and read God's word and encourage one another to obey God's word. It means that we will depend upon the Holy Spirit. We see that our sharing in the mission of God in all its parts depends upon the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in us is to move us to obey God's word. At baptism, we always say, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to keep my rules. God himself at work within us by his powerful spirit, moving us to obey his word. It's like going to sit an exam and being given the answers as you walk in the door. It means we will live humble lives. We know before we start that we're going to mess it up. People are going to watch us, especially when we get things wrong. What are they going to see? Are they going to see attractive Christian living? We need to live close to Jesus that we might be able to seek his mercy and his forgiveness. Live close to Jesus so that when we've been forgiven, we can forgive others. Is that how people live in your experience at the golf club or in your office or wherever you meet folks? They do something wrong, they are open, they confess what they've done wrong, and they seek forgiveness? Or do they try to defend themselves or excuse themselves or blame someone else? How do people react in your experience when someone does something wrong to them? Do they go in the huff? Do they scream? Do they rage? Do they shout? Do they burst out in anger? Don't you think forgiveness would be attractive? It means we're going to keep going. There's a great temptation. We start off trying to obey God's word and we find it hard and we give up. We start off trying to obey God's word, we fail, so we give up. We're going to keep on going. We are not going to abandon obedience to God's word just because it's hard. When we fail, we are going to seek forgiveness and the renewed presence of the Spirit and try again. We are never going to change God's word to lower the standard, to try and make it easier for us. We want the world to see God at work in his people, moving us to obey his word in lives which are wise and understanding, lives which are gracious and kind and attractive, lives which are cross-shaped because of obedience to the word. Look at that picture for a moment. There isn't a cross on the picture made out of a big bit of wood. There isn't a cross on the picture drawn with a pencil or painted with any paint. The picture shows men and women coming together and their lives shaping a cross-shaped, visible for everyone to see. That's the kind of life we are to live in obedience to the word of God, cross-shaped lives, so that people might be attracted to know Jesus and his grace by watching us obey God's word. That's how we achieve the mission of God for others through our faithful discipleship. That's why we can say, come and see. Come and see the shape of the cross lived in my life. Come and see the fruit of the Spirit growing in my life because of obedience to God's word. God's mission is to see all people come to know him, to be attracted to him, to learn to love him and worship him. God's plan is to have those who are already his people live lives that are distinctive and visible and attractive to others. That's why we obey the word of God. That's a generous thinking of others' reason for obeying the word of God. That's not a, I'll obey the God's word because I'm afraid of God the judge reason. That's God loves my neighbors and my friends. He wants them to know his love. And he's going to attract them as I obey his word and live the life that he calls us to live. This is what sharing in God's mission means. And this is why we choose to obey God's word. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that you love us so much that you speak to us. And we pray that you would help us to hear your word and allow it to transform and reshape our lives. Give us courage to live our lives visibly in public display, that everyone might see and know that we are obeying your word. And we pray that as we live in this way, you would draw many people to come to know Jesus, that you would attract many to your gospel as we obey your word. be at work among us, for this we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.